I was born into a middle-class Tamil family in the island town of Rameswaram in the erstwhile Madras state, India. My father, Jainalabdin, had neither much formal education nor much wealth. Despite this disadvantage, he possessed the great innate wisdom and a true generosity of spirit. He had an ideal helpmate in my mother, Asiamma. I do not recall the exact number of pupils she fed every day, but I am quite certain that far more outsiders are ate with us than all the members of our own family put together. My parents were widely regarded as an ideal couple. My mother's lineage was the more distinguished. One of her forebears, having been bestowed the title of Bahadur by the British. I was one of many children, a short boy with rather distinguished look, born to tall and handsome parents. We live in our ancestral house, which is built in the middle of the 19th century. It was a fairly large house made of limestone and brick on the Muscat streets in the Rameswaram. My austere fathers used to avoid all inessential comforts and luxuries. However, all necessities were provided for in the terms of foods, medicines, or clothing. In fact, I would say mine was a very secure child, and materially, emotionally. I normally ate with my mother sitting on the floor of the kitchen. She would place a banana leaf before me, on which she then ladled rice and aromatic sambar, a variety of syrup, homemade pickle, and a dollop of fresh coconut chutney. The Shiva temple, which made Rameswaram so famous to pilgrims, was about a 10 minutes walk from our house. Our locality was predominantly Muslim, but there were quite a lot of Hindu families too, living amicably with their Muslim neighbor. There was a very old mosque in our locality, where my fathers would take me for evening prayers. I had not the finest idea of the meaning of Arabic prayers chanted, but I was totally convinced that they reached God. When my father came out of the mosque after the prayers, people of different religions would be sitting outside, waiting for him. Many of them offered bowls of water to my father, who would dip his fingertips in them and say a prayer. This was then carried home for the invalids. I also remember people visiting our home to offer thanks after being cured. Father always smiled and asked them to thank Allah the Merciful. The highest priest of Rameshwaram's temples, Bhakshi Lakshmana Shastri, was a very close friend of my father's. One of the most vivid memories in my early childhood is of the two men, each in traditional attire, discussing spiritual matters. When I was old enough to ask questions, I asked my father about the relevance of the prayers. My father told me there is nothing mysterious about prayers. Rather, prayers made possible a communion of the spirit between people. When we pray, he said, you transcend your body and become a part of cosmos, which knows no divisions of wealth, age, caste, or creed. My father's could convey complex spiritual concepts in very simple, down to the earth Tamil. He once told me, in his own time, in his own place, in what he really is, and in the stage he was reached, good or bad, every human being is a specific element within the whole of the manifest driving into it. A divine being. So why be afraid of difficulties and sufferings and problems? When troubles come, try to understand the relevance of the sufferings. I really, really amazed to know this. Adversity always present opportunity for introspections. That means adversity is needed for everyone's lives to introspection. Why don't you say, I asked him, my father said, what? I asked my father, why don't you say this to the people who came to you for help and advice? He put his hand on my shoulder and looked straight into my eyes. For quite some time, he said nothing, as if he was judging my capacity to comprehend his words. Then he answered in a low and deep voice. His answer filled me with a strange energy and enthusiasm. Whenever human beings find themselves alone, as a natural reaction, they start looking for a company. Whenever they are in trouble, they look for someone to help them. Whenever they reach an impasse. They look to someone to show them the way out. Every recurrent anguish, longing, and desires finds its own special helper. For the people who came to me in distress, I am but a go-between in their efforts to propitiate demonic forces. With prayers and offering, this is not a correct approach to all and should never be followed. One must understand the difference between a fear-ridden visions of destiny and the visions that enable us to seek the enemy of fulfillment within ourselves. I remember my father starting his day at 4 a.m. by reading the namaz before dawn. After the namaz, he used to walk down to a small coconut grove we owned about 4 miles from our house. He would return with a dozen coconut tied together thrown over his shoulder, and only then would he have his breakfast. This remained his routines even when he was in his late 60s. I have throughout my life tried to emulate my father in my own world of science and technology. I have endeavored to understand the fundamental truth revealed to me by my father and feel convinced that there exists a divine power that can lift one up from confusions, misery, melancholy, and failure, and guide one to one's true place. And once an individual severs his emotional and physical bond, he is on the road of freedom's, happiness, and peace of mind. And thanks, everyone. Thanks, the universe. Thanks for listening my story.